Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The firm of Harris and Marang. Patrick Harris.
Look, Daniel. I do what I want.
Danny Marang.
That is smelling your own farts.
Easy there. These are great pipes.
I'm not going to say agree to disagree, but I really don't like you right now.
The firm of Harris and Marang on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080. The Fan.
All right, two out, one to go. And we'll turn you over to Joey Mack and Ducks Insider from 1 to 2. I'm sure we'll hear from Dan Lanning. I'll be listening to that. I always listen on Mondays. It's the best Duck Insider, in my opinion, on
Not
Mondays.
The one with Dusty Hara?
Oh, I listen. I mean, I listen to him all the time on my way going home. But Monday's always the best because you get, like, you get super raw Dan Lanning.
Oh, yeah.
Usually red-ass Dan Lanning.
He's always real thrilled to do the Monday press conference.
Yeah, well, he's nicer to Joey Mack and those guys than he is to anybody else. So you'll get that from 1 to 2, then the Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson from 2 to 3, and then it's prime time from 3 to 7, take you all the way home, finishing up 13 hours continuous live local regional sports talk radio. Coming up this hour...
I hope you all had a shitty day.
Not as you.
You know,
I almost swore again.
Real quick.
For what?
Golf clap for you, Mr. Harris.
Why is that?
I said I didn't think he would fire him. And you said if they drop it, he's gone.
Absolutely.
They did. I did not. Because of the $54 million, I didn't think they'd do it.
But I will ask a question, though, that might be in Brian Kelly's defense that might shock you.
Wow.
I know.
Is that hard for you to say?
It is a little hard for me to say, but it's all right. And then we'll talk a little Oregon State football because, boy, a bombshell was dropped on Dirt and Sprague this morning that needs to be addressed. This program right here needs to address that bombshell dropped. If you missed any of that, go check the Odyssey podcast or wherever you get your podcast, also on YouTube. But we usher in a new era to the Portland Trail Blazers, Danny. My Portland Trail Blazers, not yours, mine. As Tiago Splitter makes his debut as the head man in charge. You were talking earlier today about did I watch his press conference?
Yep.
And there was stuff you wanted to get into. I did watch it. I watched it live. I thought he handled it fantastically. I don't remember if we were texting, but I might have been texting a buddy. Ramona Shelbourne, walk, please. I thought she was trying to stir stuff up there. Almost.
So close.
Do we remember who she works for as well in terms of stirring things
so
up?
So I was in the room. Ramona was sitting right behind me.
And what certain
and I don't expect you to trash your brethren.
No, I don't mean that. No. I understand what you're saying. I thought Ramona's question was, number one, entirely fair. And I thought Tiago's answer was entirely fair. So for those that don't know, Ramona's been covering the league for a very long time.
Sure.
She knows Tiago. Mm-hmm. And Tiago knows her. And this is where I was talking about earlier, where I thought Tiago was pissed during the press conference. And I thought Tiago did a very good job because he understood he was pissed. And in that moment, Tiago's first couple answers, you know, one of the things I asked him is, Tiago, how do you put your imprint on this team? And how much time can you wait before you change something you kind of do, kind of a deal? And the way he thought about it was like, you know, I've already kind of done that with how we're playing, because, you know, coming in, but...
Yeah, I don't expect him to really drastically change stuff. It's what they've been working
on. Well, he's going to maybe change some rotations. Maybe he's going to change how fast they play, or playing faster, or playing more aggressive, or less aggressive. Like, there's a million things he can do. But as the questions kept going, I could almost feel like his jaw tightening.
Mm-hmm.
My prevailing thought of Thiago in that press conference was he was pissed. And he was pissed off because Chauncey Billups put him in this position.
Oh, I agree.
I don't think he... So I've been told by numerous people that...
Well, and is it just Chauncey or even Bjorkgren, too?
No.
Wanting to stay in the same spot.
I don't think he's mad at Nate B. I don't think so.
I think Thiago is pissed off because Chauncey put him in this position. I have talked to a lot of people in the league who told me when they hired Thiago and St. Patrick St. Andrews that both those guys were on paths to be head coaches in the next 3 to 4 years. And that part of the way that the Blazers got Thiago was that if they did end up making a change, if Chauncey gets let go by new ownership, let's say Dundon comes in and says that, you know, they would try to
none
push.
None of this happens. They just clean house and want their own guys.
They would try to put Thiago up like, hey, no, this is a guy. Like, you know, this is a guy you should definitely consider. And I think that's part of the reason why Thiago took the job, is that he was definitely angling for not necessarily a coaching job here, but like having a pathway to that. Mm-hmm. He did not want, and no one wants this job in this manner. There is no playbook. There is no, this isn't.
Even if you want to be a head coach in the future, you'd rather be an assistant for 4 more years than do it this way.
Yeah. And here's the thing of this. Thiago is technically not the interim head coach because Chauncey Billups has not been fired.
He is
on administrative leave. He is acting head coach, and that is purposeful because of the legality. Everybody's like, why don't you just fire him? They can't.
Because they need to fire him for cause, so they don't have to pay
him. Well, because right now he's on leave.
You can't fire.
And if you fire him now, it's going to trigger a buyout of some sort.
It's all splitting hairs and legality stuff.
It's not just the money, though. It's not just the money.
Yeah, but I don't care what the legality is. Chauncey Billups is not the head coach of the Blazers.
But it's like how, and again.
Linguistics be damned.
But you're right. I don't think he ever will be.
But that's my point. Is it's just another layer of stupid that you have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And the question that I asked him in the post game was, you know, you had a great game tonight against the Warriors and your guys were able to lock in. How do you manage this team in the times when you're not playing basketball?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the prevailing amount of time. And it's going to come up, like the Clippers fans are chanting FBI, which is hilarious. Clippers fans, look around.
They got me all wet.
Look around and the stuff that your organization is embroiled with. Mm-hmm. You know who loves this right now? Steve Ballmer, because he's no longer persona non grata in the NBA league office.
That's the truth.
The Clippers like, although Ty Lue. Yay. But I thought Thiago handled that question from Ramona. He was like, he thought about it for a second. I could see him kind of like clenching his jaw. And he's like, you know, Ramona, this is difficult. I'm going to decline to comment.
I think that's why, like, she had every fair business to ask the question, but nobody was going to answer it.
No, but that's the job. You asked, and that question has been asked to almost every head coach in the league following Chauncey's arrest. I saw Steve Kerr had comments on it. Yeah. I saw Rick Carlisle was pissed.
He should be.
And for those that don't know, Rick Carlisle is the president of the Coaches Association.
He should be pissed.
So
it's a terrible look on the league.
Yes. And again, innocent until proven guilty, all of those things that kind of go with it, but it is a bad, bad look. But let's push all that to the side, because the Blazers played incredible.
They did.
They played incredible against the Warriors.
He got them amped up. The team looked fired up. They looked organized. They looked like they had a mission. They were ready to go.
They were defensive terrorists.
They really were.
Chris Murray, Matisse Thybulle, Blake Wesley off the bench. Those three guys were nuts. Chris Murray might have played his best game, but I don't, box score be damned.
Matisse
Thybulle
was really fun to watch.
Matisse and Wesley on the floor is so much fun. I don't care if they never score.
It's just fast.
They're so fast. They're so athletic. And because they know they're playing 14 to 18 minutes,
mm-hmm.
As I was driving in today and I was thinking about the game and I was thinking about Blake Wesley. Blake Wesley reminds me of TJ McConnell in the sense, TJ has talked about this. Playing hard is a skill. And there's levels of playing hard in the NBA. And if you ever watch TJ McConnell when he checks out, he is huffing and puffing because he has the rev pegged the entire time he's out there. Blake Wesley's out there for a good time, not a long time. Like that. And so he knows his lot in life. And it's so interesting because they play, those two guys play so hard that if you don't match their intensity, you stand out.
So then what's the difference between game one and game two under Thiago, where game two, nobody could hit any shots and it didn't feel as organized?
Well, I think the intensity there, I think the effort was there, I think the focus is there. This is a team that struggles to shoot. And a big component of this is Shaedon Sharpe has been tremendously awful offensively. His intensity, his focus, all those things, maybe the best I've seen him in a 3-game stretch, but he's not delivering.
I also just, I think this team really just lacks a pure, consistent scorer.
Well, I think what we can't,
which are hard to find in the NBA, but like somebody that can just get buckets when you need buckets.
I think what we can't overlook, as far as the difference between Friday and last night, is Friday night you had that adrenaline rush.
Totally.
You were ready to go out
that
and run
through a brick
wall. That
is free drugs, man.
You had 15 Kool-Aid men on that bench ready to go run through a wall.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. And so they went out, they did that, and they spent everything, and they got a win. And then a couple nights later, you know, they get out of that, they go and hop on a plane, hop down to Los Angeles, and a couple nights later, and then it's like, again, like Forrest Gump, I'm kind of tired.
Yeah, and you're playing a Clippers team that actually had everybody out there. But yeah, I think to this fan on the this listener on the YouTube, need a superstar closer. Yeah, maybe not a superstar, but somebody that can score consistently. Hell, I'd take a Kyle Korver right now. Someone I can just stick in the corner and know they're going to drill threes.
Well, here's the thing. Denny, Drew, and Jeremy, I think you're getting exactly what you want out of those guys. I think you're getting everything and you expect to get out of those.
I think so too, and it's not enough.
And sorry guys, this is where the he hates Shaedon comes in. Shaedon has sucked offensively. He has been god awful.
I know, but I don't think
he has
any,
been. And I think
no. There's no buts about
it. 28% from the field. I think 20% from three. Yeah, it's been dog water.
They could very easily be 3-0 if Shaedon is not complete and utter trash offensively.
And I think we also have to remember that we are 3 games into the
season.
That is also true.
It's entirely true. But like this whole like
they also played Golden State on a back to back.
Yep.
They're going to play the Lakers tonight on a back to back.
Lakers are also on a back to back.
No Luka, no LeBron.
The living embodiment of small sample size theater.
Just stop. Because everybody wants to.
Okay.
No, everybody wants to sit here and make these excuses.
I'm not making an excuse.
No, call
three games, man.
No, call the spade the spade.
I just said he has been awful. He's shooting 28% and 20% from three. And I'm also saying it's 3 games.
It's exactly what I'm saying. But we're sitting here saying, well, they need a superstar closer. They don't. They need somebody to not be awful.
They don't need a superstar closer. They need a guy. A guy, right? And he doesn't have to be a superstar. They need a guy that they can lean on in the down the stretch. And instead, right now, we've got 2, 3, maybe 4 guys that we think could maybe do it, but we don't know. And so that is a big problem.
And I don't
think 37% last night.
Yeah.
27 from three.
Here's on the 3-point. The Denny, Drew, Jeremy, they get 8 of their 11 threes. The rest of the team is 3 of 26 from three.
So stop shooting threes.
No, look, Shaedon's
going to shoot.
Yeah, Shaedon's mark against
him. It's not happening.
Him,
keep shooting.
No, Shaedon's mark against him is that the 3-point shooting has gone down every year. And I don't know where he's going to be as a 3-point shooter. And this is not, it's everything Shaedon's fault. But as far as the offense part of this, if Shaedon is just okay, they're probably 3-0. I'm not asking for Shaedon Sharpe to score 20 plus a game on high efficiency. If Shaedon, instead of 7 of 24, if he's 11 of 24, they win that game.
Do we?
They win that game.
I guess here's one thing too, and this is more of a macro exercise with Shaedon Sharpe and the Trailblazers. How many times we want to put him into the starting lineup? And the fans want to see him in there. They want to, because we want to finally see what Shaedon Sharpe can actually do when given the opportunity. And so we've got a 3-game sample size this season. How many other times in his career have we seen a 3-game sample size even of him starting 3 games in a row?
What do you mean?
Well, what I mean is because it sounds like, and maybe I'm taking this unfairly, it sounds like you want to say he is not cut out for this. He's not a starter.
No.
Because of these 3 games. So what I'm saying is how many times in his previous seasons has he had a stretch even where he's started 3 games in a row? It's a, I guess my point is, long story short, it's a new role.
Oh, for sure.
For him.
I think there's two things going on for Shaden. I think one, he's trying to prove the contract. Two, he's trying to prove that he's worth being a starter. I think he's because so, his shot selection. I haven't like there's been a couple shots where I'm like, eh, not a great shot. But otherwise, his overall shot selection hasn't bothered me.
So is the problem right now that basically it's
I think
it
he's
a,
pressing.
Is it a try hard?
Yeah, I think he's pressing okay. because his intensity, his focus, his effort defensively.
Yeah.
I think is there.
So we can work question, through the try hard.
And that's what I'm saying. Like this, there's been this. The offense is struggling. It's like the offense is struggling because a guy that is taking the majority of your shots is wildly inefficient. Not like having kind of games.
No, he just flat out has not been good.
And that's the thing is, he doesn't have to be great. That's what I'm saying is that if he is just
needing to be better,
and he, like as far as him being pulled from the starting lineup, if he does this for 5-6 more games, then you have to start looking at it because this is not a shot at Shaden. This is Joe and I talked about this in the post game. I think the biggest thing right now for Tiago on the basketball court is what he does with Shaden or doesn't do with Shaden. How much leash he's willing to give him or not give him. Because if you let it go too long and Jeremy keeps playing well, locker room sits there and goes, look, I know we wanted to give Shay his chance, but this guy's hooping. This guy's hooping. We need him out there.
Sure. Let's put a pin in this. We'll come back at closing arguments. Sound good? We all good with that? Come back with closing arguments. We're just way over the clock, guys.
No, that never happens with us.
Yeah, stick with us. We'll get back to this at 12:45 when we wrap things up. But when we come back, Brian Kelly out at LSU. Told you so. Told you so. Do that next. 105.1.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, coming up in 15 minutes, there was a great interview this morning on Dirt and Spray that we will hijack for this program because we like just it? Love this story so much, we can't get away with it. Can't get away from it, excuse me. So we'll do that in 15 minutes, Beaver fans. Buckle up for that.
Go Beavers.
But the hammer finally dropped, and I hate to say I told you so because I did tell you so. So I'll
you
say
did.
It again. I'll tell you so. Brian Kelly was relieved of duties yesterday, fired after their loss to Texas A&M. He has lost 3 of his last 4 in the SEC, triggered a $54 million buyout. Joe Sloan, the OC, was fired today as well.
That's kind of weird, right? Like that had to be like, hey, we're going to make you the interim. And then he was like, nah, rah, 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 and then they get him out. Like that's the only way I think that happens.
I think they looked at it and was like, your offense is absolutely dreadful.
But why not fire him at the same time?
Fair question.
You know what I mean? Like there's something there of like.
Maybe you're worried about the big dog first and then we'll deal with the rest later.
I don't. Maybe that's my brain being dumb. Yeah. It's weird that a day later they do it.
I feel bad that I haven't done enough diligence on this, but just because you're the offensive coordinator doesn't mean you're number two, you know?
Sure, but
it doesn't mean Will Stein's number two for Dan. He might be, but it doesn't mean
But
he
you
is.
Understand what I'm saying, right?
Sure.
Like usually if you're gonna can somebody and adjacent staff, like with Trent Bray.
I wonder if they were going to fire him anyway, but then they lost, so they were like, let's get Kelly out of here. Yeah, I don't know. And
maybe I'm making nothing out of something out of nothing.
Maybe. And they're under negotiation for the $54 million buyout and how they're going to pay it. Look, Brian Kelly was 34-14 at LSU. That ain't so bad. But it's another year of not going to the playoff. Mm-hmm. It's not winning big games. Dude, they could lose two more games, even if Brian Kelly was at the helm. I think they looked at this and knew this wasn't going to get better. This wasn't like...
They've got Bama, Arkansas, Western Kentucky, Oklahoma.
You're going to lose to two of those games. I think they lose to Oklahoma.
You know what's funny is Oklahoma
has a real defense, and that offense can't do anything.
The Oklahoma one's a toss-up for me. You know what I thought they would lose to? Arkansas. Because they put up points like no tomorrow.
That would be
three. And if you can't score with them, good luck.
Off the top of my head, I believe Western Kentucky, number one special teams in America.
Yeah, you did bring that. Are we going to get a little kick six action? Yeah, that's how they win.
Look out.
Going 0-4 down the stretch, and Brian Kelly sitting there going, I'm not so bad, am I?
The Western Kentucky kicked a 75-yarder to beat LSU in overtime.
Minerals, vitamins.
Look, this whole thing is so weird down in the swamp. Not the swamp, I shouldn't say that. In the bayou, excuse me. Boosters meeting at the governor's house?
Just means more.
It just means more in the SEC. You're not even talking to the AD. You went to the governor of Louisiana. And they were like, so AD, we were at the governor's house last night over some nice brandy and some jambalaya. And we have decided that you are going to fire Brian Kelly. He's like, well, I'm the AD. You don't tell me what to do. It's like, actually, we have decided you are going to fire Brian Kelly. And by the way, here is $54 million in cash in unmarked bills. Make it happen.
Do you know who the favorites are for the coaching position?
Well, I imagine Lane's up there.
Lane is number one.
We'll chat Lane tomorrow.
Number two, John Sumrall at Tulane. Okay. He is a guy, he's going to get one of these jobs.
He's going to get a big job.
He's going to get one of the Penn State, LSU, Florida, and insert other job here.
Probably Florida and then fail.
Joe Brady, Bill's offensive coordinator.
Oh, right, because of the Ed Orgeron 2019 ties. They don't want Ed O.
I mean, they've gone down that path before. James Franklin, plus 700. Eli Drinkwitz, plus 800. That's one I would firmly put my eyes on.
Look, man, I may need to pull this up, and this might be for a conversation tomorrow, but I found something earlier today, over the weekend, about Drinkwitz. I know you love him. Dude, his record's not great.
It's also Missouri.
Understood. But again, we talk in this, you live in this world of like, any program can turn it around at the drop of a hat. I don't know if I'm as high on drink as you are anymore.
I just think he's a good coach.
I'm starting to fade on him
a little bit. That's fine. Then Jeff Brohm at Louisville, but he's a Louisville guy. He already left and came back once. Does he do it again? Then Jimbo.
Hard pass.
Brent Key, Georgia Tech. Keep in mind, Brent Key, Georgia Tech alumni.
He's not going.
Run the ball.
He's not going anywhere.
Clark Lee, Vandy coach. But also
an alumni. I don't think any of those alumni are leaving.
Marcus Freeman.
No, Notre Dame's a better job right now. So that's my question, dude. Look, I know a lot of people have LSU high up as jobs, and they do.
It is.
It's a great job, but where are you in the pecking order?
Dirt started out saying it was a top three job, and then Brandon was like, really? Who you got ahead of him? And then he had to walk it back. It's like, okay, maybe top five.
But where are they on the pecking order? At best, they're at third, because Bama and Georgia will always be ahead of
Ohio State.
No, I just mean in the SEC.
Oh, in the SEC, yeah. Well, Dirt was even talking about all around.
Oh, I mean, LSU's a great job. I'm not saying it's not, but, like, keep in mind that you will always be behind Bama and Georgia in terms of perceived aesthetic.
Will you, though?
I think so. Because they've done way more than LSU has since Orgeron.
I mean, since Orgeron.
Saban's got a couple more titles in there. Kirby's got two since then.
Sure, but what was Georgia before Kirby?
But that doesn't matter. What is Georgia now with Kirby?
I'm just saying. Well, like
the number five team in the nation.
And LSU has not fallen
six.
Off that much because no. there was that, while it wasn't Brian Kelly, it was you know, Captain Cajun, Ed Orgeron with that title. But it wasn't also that long before that where
Saban
I remember watching.
Was there.
Where I remember watching also on my newfangled 3D television with my glasses, the national championship game between Bama and LSU that I think ended at 6-3 for the final score. LSU is a top job.
It is a very good job. I'm not denying that. I think I would rather take the Penn State job than LSU. because right now there really is with, look, coming off this weekend, how Oregon looked, I'm not going to say this, but you could make the argument. Mm-hmm. Ohio State's the only top dog in that conference.
I think that both Penn State...
So you only have to compete against Ohio State. You lose to them every other year, you're still in the playoffs. In the SEC, man, it ain't the same. LSU might be a better job and have better money, but as far as job security is concerned, I'm taking Penn State over LSU and Florida.
See, but I think that both Penn State and LSU are almost Michigan kind of lateral too. In that regard, because they are not the top dogs in the conference. They maybe had been at some point, but they are not typically the top dog. You're maybe third, fourth, whatever, in that conference, but your expectations are still high as hell. Mm-hmm. So LSU and Penn State are kind of six of one, half dozen of the other.
If you're a college football coach who wants to compete at the highest level, yes, the pathway in the Big Ten is easier at Penn State from mm-hmm. where you are, but are you really factoring that in, or do you just want the best job?
Well, I think in today's landscape, it's changed. I think if you're
it's fair.
I think if you're at Tulane, hell yeah, I'll take the LSU mm-hmm. job. You're the DC at Clemson, hell yeah, I'll take the Oklahoma job. You're the DC at Georgia, hell yeah, I'm taking the Oregon job. But I don't know if you're the former head coach of LSU, if you're taking the Florida job. I don't know if you've already been to that prominent level that you would take that, to Rust's point, a kind of lateral job.
If you're James Franklin and LSU calls, do you take the job? Do you want yep. Stanford or do you want LSU? I want LSU.
Well, of course I want LSU over Stanford. That was more for conversation about what Stanford does, but I would think about it. I wouldn't give you an answer right away. I would have to think about it because I'd have to outweigh, do I want another shot or do I want a job with more pressure?
Do you want the spotlight or do you want the security?
But the thing yeah. is, I don't...
Because that job is more...
And that becomes a personal decision.
Because that job is more high-profile and more scrutiny than Penn State will ever have been for him.
But also...
LSU will be the hardest job he's ever had.
If you're that guy, you want that. How many guys don't want that?
Because like, I don't want to be fired in 3 years unless you're going to pay me $56 million.
But that's your mentality. Do you think that that's the head coach of the college football program's mentality? But they want that challenge.
Exactly.
And we always do this. Like, which path is better? Shot. Right? Like, this is why every coach moves up until they get to the highest rung they can get to. And when you fail, you start at the bottom and you work your way back up again because you want that pressure. You want that. They crave that. Now, if you're an old guy, maybe on your way out and you just want to be happy at your alma mater, cool. I think that's a different story, but I don't think any of those guys is.
And I think if you've already gone to one of those top spots and shot your shot, right, mm-hmm. And something didn't work out, and then, you know, you get let go and you, air quotes, failed, how many of those guys that are always shoot your shot, at what point do they go, let's go get some job security and go somewhere where I can stay for a decade and where the expectations are not that much? Because I don't think
James a guy like James Franklin,
you know, we all laughed at Ed Orgeron to Oregon State.
He wants to go, but he failed mm-hmm. and he hasn't been able to get back in. So you take what you can get. But if you're James Franklin, I don't think you're taking what you can get.
Yeah.
I think James Franklin is still sought
after. If LSU comes calling and they say, hey, we want to give you this, then yes, he goes.
For sure. Things didn't end well at Penn State.
And if you're Drink, Missouri's a perfectly fine job, but do you want the challenge?
Should have never went to the SEC.
Well, and he should. He should, because he's still on the ascension.
And to be fair, Lane, we'll talk about him later, is LSU or Ole Miss a better job? LSU's a better job.
For sure. I'm not denying that. I'm not denying that at all.
And again, Lane's been down that path before, went to the NFL, went to Tennessee, all those kind of things, and Lane's saying all these things. We'll talk about that later. But like, just the holistic view of this, they're psychopaths. Mm-hmm. They want the pressure. They want somebody's boot on their neck.
I think Lane, though, this season and the way that we're going right now, it might be a little bit of a different story because he's right now, he's a top 10 coach where he's at.
He's the darling of the ball.
You know what I mean?
He's the darling of the ball.
And we don't know how much that landscape is changing with NIL and the transfer portal. And if this is just an outlier of a year and next year it goes back to all the blue bloods, just your Ohio State, Michigan, Texas.
They've had enough of this.
You know, right? So...
We'll put a pin in this and jump back into it tomorrow because I have some other questions. You know, is 8-4 the new 10-2 in the SEC? Like, when do expectations start to get shifted as the world shifts around it? But when we come back, let's have a little fun as this show has been a large proponent of it, and we will continue to be a large proponent of Orgeron State University. That's next, but first, the Kahuna with sports.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Closing arguments coming up next. We'll send you on your way. But there was a great moment this morning. Moscana from ESPN Baton Rouge was on with Dirt and Sprague this morning.
Does he know Jeff Baton Rouge?
I hope so. I hope so. I miss Jeff. Good guy. I miss you, buddy. I'm sure you're listening 24/7 still. Even if you are in North Carolina or wherever you've ended up, my friend.
Virginia.
Just kind of casually dropped this on the Sunrise guys this morning, and there's nobody that's rooting for this story harder than this show right here. And here is what he had to say on Ed Orgeron to Oregon State.
I don't know that you, I don't mind sharing this with you guys. Like, obviously, there's a lot of connectivity here with Ed. He wants that job. Like, he is making it known that he wants the Oregon State job. So that's, at least on his end, that's real. Ed is a great recruiter, and he is a fantastic defensive line coach. He inherited a great situation from Les Miles, and that might surprise people, but most of the staff that Ed had were staff members he inherited that Les Miles hired. And, you know, he caught lightning in a bottle with Joe Burrow. But he couldn't sustain it. Do I think Ed could build Oregon State into a contender? I do not. Would he make things interesting there? Yes. But I would also tell you that you look at his time at Ole Miss, his time at LSU, that 2019 season is the outlier of the larger scheme, larger sample size of him as a head coach.
I talked with Fan Man about this, and he was like, this would be an absolute disaster. And I'm sure it was. I think that guy brings up a great point, that if he inherited all these great coordinators from Les Miles, look, that ain't in Corvallis right now. Mm-hmm. You ain't inheriting much. But from an entertainment standpoint, is he going to bring them? No. But from maybe a stability, get eyeballs on your program? Why not?
The give-a-damn factor is going to go through the roof.
Going to go through the roof. I'll tell you what, if Ed Orgeron gets hired by Oregon State, I will go down to the press conference myself and get audio for this station.
We'll do the show live.
I will ask questions, and they will be honest, forthright. I won't do my Ed Orgeron. But
you should do your Ed Orgeron to Ed Orgeron.
No, I don't think that would go well. That man is four times my size, and I am very terrified
of him. I would be right there to see it.
I just want to get in. If he becomes the coach of Oregon State, I want him on this program weekly.
Mm-hmm.
Prime time, you can have Dan Lanning. I want Ed O. And I will fight you for it.
And I'm just going to ask him about his USC days. Hey, do you remember when? Do you remember when? Do you remember?
Hey.
That was awesome.
It was awesome.
Do you remember when you were in the Beatles? That was awesome. Just fanboying over him all the entire time.
I just love how on Friday, was it Thursday or Friday? No, it was Wednesday because it was before the Chauncey news. Dusty was like, absolutely not. And now we get this gem today of like, no, Ed wants this. Ed wants this.
You know what, though? You know what the sad...
Don't give me hope!
You know what the sad state is, though? Is this is where we are. We are now hoping for a funny story to get you out of where you are.
But that's what they
need. Not to just like, make things sad all of a sudden.
But they need juice.
I agree.
Yep, and Ed, but Ed O might would be, bring that OJ.
But Ed might be the wrong kind of juice.
Yeah, you might need some orange and you're getting cranberry.
Yeah.
What do the Cajuns drink?
What kind sweet of tea?
Hurricanes?
Hurricanes, yeah.
Four Loko?
I meant the cocktail.
Yeah.
Dude, I haven't had a hurricane in a long time.
But like, if you're a Cajun, what's your juice of choice? It's got to be something weird,
dude,
right?
I think it's like sweet tea. Everybody in the South drinks sweet tea.
Yeah, I know, but I'm like, if you're having like morning juice.
Probably orange juice.
You think it's orange juice?
I would think orange juice, yeah.
The Cajuns are weird.
I'm an apple juice guy myself, but, you know.
I'm a water guy.
Tom Segura's got a great bit on that. He's like, they're talking about border control, border security. He's like, we should put up a fence around those Cajuns in Louisiana. Because what the hell?
And it's not very nice.
Just to get back to it real quick, I think even if Ed O does come in and it's not... Look, we know it would not be a long-term solution. And Ed O is not an X's and O's head coach. He will bring in some people around him to do the recruiting and the actual X's and O's and during the game calls. But if you get 2-3 seasons of good juice out of Ed O and it turns your program around, because let's face it, you're not going any further south than you already are. How much does that hurt for two to three seasons?
I think the bigger question is, I think you're right.
It can't be worse.
It can be. It can always get worse. It can.
Oh, no, they might be 1-11 this year.
They might, 0-12 is still there.
No,
I'm saying it can always be worse.
I suppose that's true. Never forget. Go Huskies.
There you go. I'm babe. But taking a step back, as much as fun as this is, mm-hmm. as much fun as this is, and for the fun perspective, I am 110% in. Could it be more damaging in the long run?
Bringing
Ed O in.
For sure.
And I think that's...
We love this story.
If I'm being honest, does not getting the hire right now hurt you more in the long run, and then you're scrambling yet again?
Because I would argue you are in a point where you need to nail this hire more than you ever have in your life.
I would too. Mm-hmm. I want Ed because, boy,
especially
is it
fun. Look across at your brother in the same situation, and they seem to be doing just fine at Washington State. Jimmy Rogers seems to be the right guy in that, and they have a chance to win 8 games this year. They're going bowling. They're favored by 3.5 in Corvallis this weekend, and that was hiring an FCS guy, taking a chance, and I don't know if they nailed it. That remains to be seen, but so far the payoff is turning out pretty okay.
Well, now look, are we all expecting Ed Orgeron to be one of those like 4-inch nails that you nail into? Oh God, what's the thing in the wall? The not
stud?
The header, but yes, the stud. Thank you. Are we expecting him to be the 4-inch stud that you nail into the stud, or are we okay with a drywall nail for now?
Yeah, maybe. I think you need stability though. I think you need it into the stud. All right, well, closing arguments is next. We'll get back to a little Blazer discussion as they take on the Lakers tonight. What to expect from Master Splitter and the crew will do that next. 105.1 The Fan.
The firm of Harris and Marang is wrapping up for the day.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
Which means it's time for the closing arguments. Brought to you by Leskin Law. One day divorce mediation. Peace treaties, not war plans. Visit LeskinLaw.com for more information.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
On the Fan Sports Network.
You can't handle the truth.
105.1 and 1080 The Fan.
All right, that'll do it for us. This is Closing Arguments, where we finish up for the day and bring back something we were speaking about earlier to kind of put a little bow on it. And we'll get right back into some Blazers chatter as they will face the Lakers tonight. And Danny, I want to know something real quick. Asking a question. No Luka, no LeBron, okay? I think there's a very good chance we see Game 1 Thiago instead of Game 2 Thiago. And I don't mean to blame Thiago. I'm not saying it's his coaching fault, but in terms of shooting woes and stuff like that, like, because we've seen two completely different teams in the first two games of Thiago's tenure. I mean, hell, I could argue we've seen 3 different teams in the first 3 games of the season. You get a win against Golden State on a back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
You're facing the Lakers tonight in a back-to-back. Mm-hmm. No Luka, no LeBron. When do we start looking at some of these wins as a little situational?
I mean, they've been in all 3 games. And I don't think that any game actually has been different. I think the difference is ball go in hoop.
Does ball go in hoop? Does that, ball not go in hoop?
Because Denny's been good in all three games. Drew had a rough shooting game, but Drew's been good in all three games. Jeremy Grant has been good in all three games.
Tumani's defense has been fantastic. Tumani,
Matisse, Blake.
He's becoming my new favorite player.
Chris Murray. I think those guys have all – I think the identity of this team has been there for all three games. This is going to be the story of the season. Does ball go in hoop? Now, the shooting, it's over 82-game season, when you've got inconsistent shooting, you're going to have good shooting nights, you're going to have bad shooting nights. They went 9 of 11 against the Warriors in the second quarter, and that pretty much said, you're done. You're cooked from three. They went 9 of 11 from three. That's if you have that, you're going to win some games. There's no doubt about it. But their defense gives them an opportunity to be in every game. And I've a few people text me like, well, teams are scoring on them. Have you seen the number of possessions in games? This team is... They are like, so if you want to talk about, you know, the three game sample size with Shaden, the three game sample size of this team, they are winning the possession battle. They are getting to the free throw line and they are getting more shots up. Mm-hmm. It is like they are playing at a breakneck pace. Tiago on makes, on misses, on disruptive plays, steals and blocks. That man is just swinging his arm. Go.
I have enjoyed watching him on the sidelines.
He is
I love watching coaches coach.
He is very much in every possession. Go. And Chauncey was pretty good about that. Just not as animated, I would say. But I thought what I did see from Tiago, particularly against the Warriors went zone in that game, and it was a god-awful zone because they had Steph Curry and Brandon Podziemski up top, and Denny Avdija's up top. And Denny put his shoulder down and said, good luck, and they just got to the rim at will. That was a little bit different against the Clippers because you've got one of Zubac or Brook Lopez at the rim, and then you also have Kawhi Leonard, you also have Chris Dunn, you've got Derek Jones Jr., you've got Nick Batum. Like, the only guy on that team that doesn't defend is James Harden.
When's the next time we actually see that lineup again for the Clippers?
Healthy?
I feel like, yeah.
Yeah, because they're old.
Yeah, I just feel like it was like, hey, this is what we could be. Buckle up not seeing that for the next 50
games. You have been
games.
On this, like, the Clippers are going to suck all year because they're old.
I am.
I don't think, now, if the injuries pop up, yeah, they're...
If they can play like they did the other night for 60 games, then they're going to be good. They're going to play like that for 30. They'll win games. They'll beat bad teams.
I think they're a top six seed in the West.
Sure, but, you know, but if they don't play together, if they're
not healthy, yeah.
I've seen this movie 1,000 times.
But I disagree with you a little bit. I not on the Clippers, but on the Blazers. I think that the identity of this team is the identity of this team, and the difference has been ball going hoop. Mm-hmm. And if I hope Shaden gets on track. And Shaden doesn't need to score 30. Just needs to be more efficient. He just needs to not be bad. If Shaden, instead of going 7 for 24 last night, like I said, if he goes 11 of 24, they win that game. And this isn't to say that this is all on Shaden, but he has been so bad, and yet they have been in games. That has been the impressive part about this to me, is that the rest of the team, and Shaden included in this, defensively has been so disruptive, and they've been so good about getting to the rim and getting the free throw line and generating extra possessions, that if whoever ends up leading them in field goal attempts on a given night is more efficient than what Shaden has been, they're going to be in every single game.
I'm going to go back to what we were talking about earlier. And you just said it, that you don't expect Shaden to be the top scorer every night. And I think that's a fair thing. I don't think so either. I think his athleticism is amazing and what he can do is cool. And he's only 22 years old, so the sky is the limit. I still think this team needs somebody, though, that is a scorer. And I don't think Grant gives you enough. I don't think there's enough collectively. This team needs somebody that I know, wherever you are going to knock down that. Look, you don't got to be a 3-and-D guy. You don't got to be driving to the lane. You don't got to be a free throw merchant. I just need somebody that I know is going to hit shots late in the game. And I know that's not easy to find. They don't grow on trees. Kyle Korvers aren't everywhere. You know, Millers aren't everywhere. Ray Allen's Hall of Famers aren't everywhere.
They don't have a movement shooter on this team.
And they need one desperately.
Oh, they do. They do have one. He's just not going to play all season.
There you go.
Because that's the thing is that there's 25 points a game sitting on the bench.
And then maybe we should just buckle up and realize that this season is just going to be a lot of this. A lot of
100%.
A lot of really bad shooting nights for 50 out of the 82 games. And this team wins, 38 of them. 38 out of 82. Maybe that's all it is.
It's what I've been trying to say all year.
I know, but I think we're trying to talk about this team and trying to will them to win 45 games. And I don't think they have the skill to do it. I don't think they have the guys to do it.
I think they can. I think they can, but it's going to take Shaden to get that under control. Because right now.
But I don't think it's fair to put it all on Shaden.
Through three games, it is offensively. through three games it is offensively. Here.
37 for the team last night. That's a team bad performance. I don't think that's fair to put it on one guy. Did he have a bad night? For sure he did.
Everybody had
a bad night.
7 of 16 is okay. 7 of 14 is okay. 4 of 10 is okay. 2 had a rough night. 2 was 2 of 8.
And but everybody from the field in general, not just three-pointing, had a bad night. I don't think it's fair to just say him. Yeah, he was.
Denny shot 44. Drew shot 50. Jeremy shot 40. Those are the three guys that are like, right now, do you know what Denny is averaging on the season through three games?
I sure don't.
23-6-4 on 48-38-84 splits. It's only been three games. But Denny is doing the Denny thing. There's no doubt about that. Drew has been good. Drew's been really good. Other than game one, he had a poor shooting night. But otherwise, rebounds, assists, everything else. If Shea is just okay, they're probably 3-0. And again, it's not putting it on him. It's just be a little bit better. And if he's just a little bit better, then you're talking about a team that could win 40, 42 games.
7:30 tonight. Enjoy your Blazers.
God, stupid late tip.
Closing arguments brought to you by Leskin Law. Visit leskinlaw.com for more information. Leskin Law's one-day divorce mediation. Peace treaties, not war plans. That'll do it for us. We will catch you tomorrow. For Danny Meringue, Jeff Rust, I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I will do.
Bye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.